is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, it's wonderful to be with you today. It's a glory to be able to preach the gospel and to be heard by people in countries as far away as Ethiopia and Africa, Romania, in Eastern Europe, and even in Turkey in the Middle East. Well, today we're going to have part four, the final part of our series. I'm preaching the sermon series entitled A Fragile Bird He Will Not Crush. But before we do that, of course, we always have beautiful music, and with most of the programs here, most of our services. And Janet Paschal is a favorite of mine. Just she sings such anointed music. She has a song on one of the Bill and Gloria Gaither albums. It's their Mountain Homecoming album. And I suppose it's available from bookstores and such. But she has a beautiful song here entitled, Take This Trial Trip Beside Me. So here's Janet Paschal to sing. And when she's finished, I'll come on to talk about part four of A Fragile Bird He Will Not Crush. And then following that, I'll come back on once again. And we have some things I want to share with you personally at the end of the program. So we've got a lot for you. Please don't go away, right here at Bible Home Church.
This world is just a bridge to heaven. This life is just a trial trip we're on. We may
beside me.
Number 11, do something outside of yourself. When you're sitting around moping, depressed, woe is me, I feel so bad. Well, then go do something for somebody else. Remember what Jesus said, for I was hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or thirst or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. My friends, you want to get well. You want to feel good again. You want to get on with your life. You want to be prosperous, happy, contented, joyful. Go do something outside of yourself. One of my own family members not too long ago was telling me what a terrible thing had happened in their life and how bad they felt depressed. They wanted to know what to do. I said, go and visit a nursing home and help the old people there today. He said, I don't feel like it. I'm just so depressed. I said, get out of bed yourself and go do something for somebody else. You know, they did it, and they felt so good. They forgot all about their own cares and problems. Now, number 12. I think that was 11. Now, number 12. Remember the sparrow. Jesus, his eye is on the sparrow, it says in that old gospel song. And remember that he watches over you. Always remember that sparrow. Remember a fragile bird he will not crush. Just imagine that tiny little bird, its wing broken, one leg torn and dangling. It's hopping along, face scraping every contour, every object, every impediment in its path, weak, battered, torn, downtrodden, fraught with worry, beleaguered, frightened, void of hope, tossed about on a stormy sea, bothered by winds. Hoping maybe that little sparrow is hoping it can be healed and take flight and soar and be free and soar up into the sunrise. Well, you may feel like that injured bird, but remember this, my friends, always, always, no matter how much you're hurting, a fragile bird, he will not crush. Well, I want to thank you for a final segment of a fragile bird he will not crush. Now, next week we're going to begin a new series, and it's a pretty important one. And I'll tell you, it's one of the most fascinating subjects to discuss. It's Bible prophecy. We're going to begin examining next week the age-old conspiracy against God and man. A conspiracy. A lot of people don't even like that word. Their eyes glass over and their tongues begin to salivate. And some of them get very frightened and they want to stick their hands over their ears. Don't talk about that. Well, the Bible has quite a bit to say about conspiracy against God and man in the last days. And next week we're going to begin a really fascinating journey into that ages-old conspiracy. So I hope you'll tune in next week for part one. Now, you know, we get a lot of letters here at Bible Home Church, and I wanted to pass on some of the letters that we get and the questions that we have. Maybe you get these same questions. It seems like the same questions keep coming back over and over again in different forms from folks. But I'm always glad. You know, the Bible says always be ready. Be instant, in season and out of season, ready to give an answer for your faith. So I'm always thrilled to do that. I first want to start off. We have a letter here from a good friend of the ministry's from Hong Kong. He says, Dear Tex-Mars, Christian greetings in Jesus' name. What a joy it is to know of your ministry. And thank you for the information you sent to Sister Wilma Eguia. When she phoned me, I was so excited to know what was going on in your ministry and work. This person goes on to say, we have now formed a group of 18 Filipina domestic helpers working here in Hong Kong. They have chosen me as their leader. We regularly meet during our time off every Sunday. And when we meet, we have a Bible study. I am their teacher because I was able to finish a 2-year Bible study in a Bible school. And then this person goes on to talk about, we're now studying Daniel and Revelation, Bible prophecy. It says, we are not able to send you much, but here is a contribution. We are sorry we could not send more, but there are only few of us. But we are nevertheless pleased to send you this bank draft. And I think that's quite wonderful. You know, these are people far away from their home country of the Philippines. And there they are working in Hong Kong, of all places. And yet they are able to keep up with what's going on in this ministry, back here in the United States. So you see how God has a that sort of a holy collaboration of his servants throughout the world. And friends, when you contribute to this church, well, you're helping to present the gospel and the truth throughout the world today. So we appreciate our good friends there. By the way, this gentleman's name, I suppose it's okay, even though Hong Kong has been given back to Red China. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. So let's just say the initials are YP, and we'll let it go with that. But this individual knows who they are. So, the Red Chinese have been coming down on home churches, and here are Filipino workers meeting together in a home church and have chosen one of their own to be their local pastor. And that's very, very impressive, and I appreciate that. Well, before we go on with a few letters, I wanted to tell you about a newsletter that I got in the mail, and I got it, and, you know, my first inclination is to become righteously indignant, and then I think I was reduced to praying for the person. Isn't that something when you're first angry and then you're reduced to actually having to pray for the person you're angry at? Well, that sort of happened to me. You see, it's a newsletter called New Perspectives, and it's published by some group calling themselves Diversity Press, out of Idabel, Oklahoma. Now, right away, you know there's a little problem when it says Diversity Press. Well, here's an article entitled The Liberal Jesus by some woman. She evidently is the co-editor of this newsletter. She and her husband edited. Her name is Marilyn Westner. Marilyn Westner. But she writes about the liberal Jesus, and she tells you in this article, basically, that Jesus is a liberal. Well, let's see how she defines that. And you'll sort of see why I got a little angry at first, and then I decided I best not be angry. That wasn't the way to do things, but to pray for this precious lady, because she's really been deceived. She says that there are those who constantly think of the word liberal in a pejorative or negative way. She says, but that's not so. She said, for example, we should evaluate Jesus' attitude, and we'll find, she says, that he's a liberal. Now, let me read to you. She says, here are some examples of Jesus being a liberal. She says, he was certainly tolerant of differences. He, that is Jesus, once said, do not judge. Matthew 7:1. He also said, many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 8:11. Verse 11. So she says, because Jesus said, judge not. She's using obviously a different version than the King James. Hers is do not judge. And because he said, many will come from the east and west and will take their places at the she's talking there at the feast. She's talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. But again, she has a different version of the Bible than we do. That shows he's a liberal who is tolerant of differences. Well, you know, she sort of, she used a different way of looking at differences. Of course, Jesus said, don't judge. He said, judge not lest ye be judged. Now, wait just a minute. See, she's already, this Marilyn Westner has taken things out of context. Jesus was saying, don't judge if you're a hypocrite. Don't judge lest ye be judged. And he says, by the same measure you judge other people, you will be judged. But the very next verse, Jesus says, don't cast your pearl before swine. Well, who are the swine? Well, you've got to judge people to know who's the swine and who aren't. And of course, here again, this is the way liberals do. They take things out of context. Now, of course, Jesus did say many will come from the east and the west. Because, you see, the fact is God is not a God of white people or black people or red people or Chinese or Japanese or Germans or Americans. He's a God of whosoever will. Whosoever will. Now, I wouldn't say that quite makes him a liberal. It makes him someone who loves all people and who wishes that no one should perish. Now, how that can be defined into him being a liberal, I do not know, but this poor lady did so. Then she goes to point two. She says, liberals are accused of being those who are lax on sin and soft on crime. Lax on sin and soft on crime. She says, now let's evaluate Jesus' attitude on this issue. He seemed to be very lax on sin. He told the woman caught in adultery, quote, neither do I condemn you. John chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. Well, here again we see the liberal penchant for taking things out of context. It is true that when the woman was caught in adultery, she was about to be stoned, and Jesus said, you know, whosoever is without sin, let him cast the first stone, and the men had to leave because they all had sin in their life. And then Jesus asked the woman, who is here to condemn you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus says, well, then neither do I condemn you. But then he said something quite significant. He said, then go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon you. Friend, she was already about to be stoned to death. She was about to meet her maker, go through a hideous, very tortuous, painful death of being stoned. And Jesus says, you go and don't sin again, or something worse than suffering through being stoned to death will happen to you. It doesn't seem to me to be he was too lax on sin, does it? And in fact, what worse could happen to you than being stoned to death in such a painful way? Well, I'll tell you, suffering hellfire for eternity. That's what, and that's what Jesus was warning her about. Something worse will happen to you if you keep this sinning going, he said, and you don't repent. Well, so you see, the very thing that Jesus said, they wanted to strip that from the Bible. And all I can say is they must, if that's not in their Bible, go and sin no more, then, well, she just has a false Bible. Now, number three, she says, liberals are those who let individuals make their own moral decisions. Now let's evaluate Jesus' attitude on this issue, she said. He definitely supported individual autonomy. For example, she writes, he encouraged Martha and Mary to break social taboos. Well, I have no idea really what she's talking about. I mean, here again we see a total hazing of the facts by liberals. Well, on and on. I'm not even going to read you the rest of these, but, you know, here again we see liberals trying to justify their own sinful nature, and they try to cast Jesus as a liberal. Amazing. Oh, let me just go. Maybe I'll just give you one here. She says, liberals are those who accept scriptures as a general guide, but not as a literal creed. Liberals, she writes, realize words are not inerrant. Language and interpretation vary. So God's word must be found among the human words of the Bible. Now, she says, let's evaluate Jesus' attitude on this issue. He used scripture as a guide, not a creed. Jesus used scripture as just a guide. You know, Miss Wessner, I remember that Jesus says that he didn't come to change the law, but to fulfill it. In fact, he says not one jot or tittle will be changed. Not one jot or tittle. I mean, that's about the smallest little item that you can imagine. But you're saying he didn't really pay attention to individual words. He didn't see it as literal. He's just sort of a general guide. Well, here again we see a twisting of the truth by liberals. This whole newsletter, by the way, is just pretty disgusting. And evidently, from what I understand, the people of Diversity Press, right away they're diverse, as well as, in my opinion, perverse. But they say here that the guy claims that he used to be a Southern Baptist minister until he found out, you know, that you didn't have to interpret the Bible literally. Now he's not a Pharisee anymore. Yeah, well. He prints a letter, by the way, from a Mr. Gene Garrison, former pastor of First Baptist Church, Oklahoma City, in which this Pastor Garrison gushingly praises the New Perspectives newsletter because he, too, has found the joy of not taking the Bible literally. Well, you know, I think we need to pray for these people. We really do. In fact, let me read you what this guy here says, Mr. Wesner, the co-editor. He says, many people have asked me, why am I a liberal? Well, he says, when I first began my ministry 51 years ago, I stole from the best for my sermons. I stole from the writings of Dr. Hobbes, Herschel Ford, and even Bailey Smith. I began as a fundamentalist. However, a crisis occurred which made it impossible for me to continue. I even contemplated suicide. In order to survive, I began to read Harry Emerson Fosdick's book, A Guide to Understanding the Bible. It saved my life. I took my first liberal sermon from this book by Fosdick. Wow. Well, first of all, he starts off by saying he stole the sermons of other people, my friends. He did it. For decades, stealing the work of others. He said he did improve upon it. He goes on here to say, he began as a fundamentalist stealing the sermons of others, or from the sermons of others. Now, friends, that's not what a fundamentalist does. A fundamentalist believes in the fundamentals of the gospel. Maybe that was his first mistake. And that brought him possibly to the fact, or to the horrible level that he even contemplated suicide. Well, friends, that's the road that sin will take you down until you hit a high wall. You can't jump over. You can't go around. And that wall is called the devil, and he's standing there right in front of you, and he says, you're in my grasp. And, yeah, I can understand you might want to kill yourself. And so instead of getting on his knees and turning to God at that point when he ran into the devil's brick wall, he instead went to another heathen, another faker, Mr. Fosdick, who has a liberal guide to understanding the Bible. And I think that's why we need to pray for this man. Well, by the way, I got a letter from a friend who said, dear Tex, I really like what you say on the radio, but I did not agree with your sermon. There's plenty of room in hell. You see, Mr. Mars, I do not believe in hell. There is no way a merciful God would send anybody to hell. Well, my friend, this is your problem. I have no idea why you like my other sermons, but you don't like that one because all of my sermons are based on the Bible. And the Bible very clearly says there is a hell. In fact, let me read to you Matthew 25, verse 41. There are people, you see, that will come to Jesus on that day and say, we're Christians. We should go to heaven. Here's what God answers. He says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's Matthew 25, verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 46 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. You see, my friends, there is a choice that you make. I believe that's the choice the Wesners made, the people who put out this newsletter here, New Perspectives. Well, I like the old perspective. The old perspective, my friends, tells you the Bible is true and what it says you can count on. God wrote the Bible. And my friends, Jesus said more in the Bible about the reality of hell than any other person in the Bible. Go to Moses, go to Elijah, go to every other great hero in the Bible, and you will find something. Jesus said more about hell than any other Bible hero. It must be imparted. And it is. He wants to make sure you and I don't go there. Well, it's been great being with you today. Again, next week we're going to start a brand new series. You'll want to be with us as we discuss and examine the ages-old conspiracy against God and man. This is Tex Mars, pastor of Bible Home Church. Be with us next week, and until then, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.